Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Glass of wine, you know, just a single glass, nothing indulgent. You listen to that, you're going to be feeling pretty good about the situation. Good stuff right there. Memphis' own B.B. King. Welcome back to the show, third and final hour of the most unjustly smeared radio program in the world, the Political Cesspool, coming to you from our flagship station here in Memphis. We have all the right enemies and all the right friends. That's right. AFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Very interesting ongoing battle taking place here in Memphis. It's been going on for a while. It deals with Memphis schools. So, and there's been a new development here over the course of the last couple of weeks that we're going to bring you up to date on. But first, Keith is going to basically give you a review, a primer, as to what's going on with the school system here in Memphis and Shelby County, which is the county in which Memphis sits, and also give you the update, the latest on this story. So, Keith, Memphis schools, what's up?
Well, Memphis City Schools surrendered their charter last year. They did this because of the old bugaboo, the constant concern of black politicians everywhere. How do you get the white people's money without the white people's votes? What it looked like was about to happen was that the Shelby County school system, which is majority white but 35% black, was about to break off so that they did not share funding with the Memphis City schools, which are overwhelmingly black, 87%. So seeing the potential departure of the white folks' money out in the suburb was cause for great alarm, you know, weeping, wailing, rending of garments, and gnashing of teeth in the black community. So what they wound up doing was surrendering their charter in a great stratagem so that now there is just one large Shelby County school system, which is now predominantly black, much, you know, well over 60% black when you put the two school systems together. And they are busily deciding that to save money, they're closing inner city schools. Where do you think those kids are going to be going to school? Out in the suburbs. They're going to be bussed out to the suburbs so that the suburban whites can enjoy all the wonderful benefits of diversity and multiculturalism right in their own backyard. They're also closing down the old housing projects in Memphis, replacing them with mixed housing, what they call the Hope 6 Project, with rich, middle class, and poor people together. Of course, wealthy people ain't moving in, neither are very many middle class, so these things are about one-third to two-thirds filled. And meanwhile, all of the people that used to live in the housing projects are being given Section 8 vouchers and pointed out to Bartlett, Cordova, Germantown, and all these other places, Millington, all the suburban municipalities. So with all of that working here, you know, the left is doing their best to make sure that white people have no refuge or resource in Shelby County. What the county suburban municipalities, we have about six of them, Millington, Bartlett, Arlington, Collierville, Germantown, those are the ones I can think of right now. They've all opted to have their own municipal school systems. But, of course, the left in Memphis is saying that's racist, and they're doing their best to try to prevent white people from having municipal school systems. And a decision came down from the local so-called Republican appointee federal court judge, who apparently is just as liberal as his black Democratic counterparts, and he ruled that the law allowing the Shelby County municipalities, the suburban municipalities, to have their school system was unconstitutional. So now they've got to go back to the drawing board and try again. Now, this is a problem with the Republican Party. They refuse to embrace what the left and the Democrats and the blacks and the minorities all see. They refuse to see, which is that they are the party of white people. They will not represent white people. They will be dragged kicking and screaming to their graves before they'll do that, James. And their so-called conservative nostrums always wind up harming rather than helping the white population of any given community. For example, one of the results of the Obama election was that as the federal government becomes more and more Democrat dominated, state governments in red state America, like Tennessee, which is the quintessential red state, become more and more Republican. Now there is a supermajority of Republicans in the Tennessee legislature. There are only 40 non-Republicans in both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, in Tennessee. But what does this white supermajority of Republicans do under the guidance or under the leadership of Bill Haslam, a neoconservative of the first water? The first thing on their agenda is school vouchers for private school for poor, i.e. black, students. So in other words, racial integration, which ruined the public schools of America in any area that had a sizable black population, is now going to be used to ruin the private schools as well. All of these schools, like Briarcrest, where James went, Macon Road Baptist, where Eddie's grandchildren go, the place where my children went, all of these schools are now going to be facilitated in bringing blacks into their student bodies. Of course, most of these schools are already doing Herculean efforts to try to get black kids into the schools. There is no group more hated than whites. Nobody wants to help the white people and the white educational establishment. Again, education is another institution that the long march of the through the institutions of cultural Marxism has gone through. Everyone that goes to a school of education now is either a liberal or else they haven't been paying attention in class, because that is the sum and substance of what they're being taught in the education schools of America nowadays. So, you know, don't put your faith in the Republican Party. Don't put your faith in so-called mainstream conservatism, because they're just as anxious to sell you out in their own way as the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL is in their ambit, or the ACLU. These people are all your enemies, and it's being played out right here in Memphis, Tennessee.
We're going to tell you more about this story, the rest of the story, the update, right after this.
Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Sounds like Kenny G to me, Keith. I don't know about you. All right. Welcome back to the show. Talking about, we've got a couple of instrumentals here to open up the third hour. Talking about the schools here in Memphis. So Keith gave you the background information. All of the suburban cities and towns in Shelby County that are not Memphis, Bartlett, Collierville, Germantown, Millington, Arlington, these are all towns in Shelby County that have their own charter and are not Memphis. They're not suburbs. I mean, they are suburbs, but they're not just suburbs. They are their own cities and towns, municipal corporations. So once the city of Memphis City Schools surrendered its charter, they were going to have to be absorbed by the county school system. And, of course, the voters of the municipal towns and cities did not want any part of that, and for good reason. So it was put to a ballot. It was on the ballot. It was put to a referendum on the ballot last month. And overwhelmingly, 80-90% plus of all of the voters of the towns in Shelby County said, we're going to make our own school districts. And so we don't have to absorb the students of the city schools. And of course, this was shouted down as racist and everything else you could imagine. And despite the fact that such an overwhelming majority of the citizenry in these municipalities voted to start their own school district, they even voted themselves to have higher taxes to fund the districts. It is being met with resistance in court, as you might expect. You know, if it wasn't for the federal court systems and the local court systems before that, America would look very similar today as it did in the 1950s. When put to public ballots, we almost always carry it. Where we're getting beat at is in the courts, these black-robed tyrants. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess. This is another story that's come up. maybe, just maybe, guys, incidents like this are the reason why the parents of these local communities don't want to send their kids to the city schools. Here is basically a run-of-the-mill daily occurrence. It's not daily that kids get raped in the bathrooms at the Memphis City Schools, but there's always misgivings and shenanigans going on. This is why they don't want to be a part of the system. The local news, it's been all over the local news this week. A student, and it was a black student, just for the record, and as a matter of fact, was charged with raping another student in a Memphis high school bathroom this week. It's just sick to be in school. Stuff like that, they should be learning. That's not even a coherent statement, but that's what one of the people they interviewed, one of the young scholars at these schools said. Police charged 18-year-old Craigmont student, who's probably a freshman, Antonio Gillis, with rape. Investigators say it happened in the boys' bathroom at the school during school hours. Gillis is accused of forcing a 15-year-old student to perform a sex act on him. Another student was there in the bathroom watching. So this is Memphis City Schools, guys. I mean, this is it's not always that bad. I mean, it couldn't be much worse than rape unless you get into murder. But this, you know, you hear and read of stuff like this all the time taking place in Memphis City Schools. Maybe, I don't know, call me crazy, but maybe that has something to do, Keith, with the fact that the suburban parents don't want their kids. What normal thinking person would want to send their daughter to a school like that? Now, none that I know of.
Okay, let Eddie say something. Eddie wants to say something. We're going to give him the mic.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Folks, I think I can just sum this up kind of in a nutshell. You know, we've been at the cesspool for a long time, and we talk about the problems. No matter what we do at the ballot box, we're beat. Everybody and his mama knows that Ron Paul was screwed out of the election. We can't win at the ballot box. We tried. And even if we do vote, like James and Keith been sitting here pointing out, that when the white people do vote for some type of initiative, the tyrannical court system is going to shoot it down. So we cannot win the ballot box. We can't win the court system. These are the systems that our forefathers put in place for others to remedy problems without having to go to the ballot box. Well, I'm telling you, it's clear to me the only solution to 1984, 1776, you cannot, we can't win. We're defeated. I'm 65 years old. I've seen an unending retreat, an unending loss. Every battle we have fought since I've been alive, we have lost. And we tried to do it through the so-called legal system, which is corrupt. The ballot boxes are, you know, the machines, the election systems is rigged. It might as well be in the Soviet Union, where Stalin used to say he didn't care who voted because he counted the votes. So, folks, you tell me what the solution is. I've just hinted to you what it is.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Well, that's it. You know, we were talking about Simon and Garfunkel, a Jewish pair that James admires. I admire some of their music, too. But one of their famous lines was, laugh about it, shout about it, when you've got to choose. Any way you look at it, you lose. And that's what's happened. Jewish cultural Marxist ingenuity has checkmated the foundation that has been provided to us by the Founding Fathers. They found a way around every safeguard that was built into the Constitution. So consequently, we are now a sheeple, as Michael Savage, another Jewish guy, says on the radio. We are driven. We have no voice in our own government. We have no choice because all of our enemies, including our own elites, our own white Gentile elites, like this federal judge that ruled against the formation of the suburban municipal school systems because he knew that was what was expected of him. Now, the reason he did this purportedly was that the legislation was too specific. It could only apply to Shelby County, but it didn't say it just applied to Shelby County, but it used descriptions like it had to be a county that bordered the Mississippi River, that had no less than blank number of people, and of course the only county that fit that description was Shelby County. Now, if that is such a unpardonable precedent, then why do we have the General Sessions courts the enabling legislation to set up a General Sessions Court in Shelby County, which is totally different from General Session Courts throughout the rest of the state of Tennessee. It was created using exactly the same type of language. The thing is, it's like the Queen of Hearts. Words mean what they say they mean, nothing more and nothing less. They're going to find a way to frustrate every initiative at self-determination that the white people of America come up with.
Excellent commentary as always, Keith. And as we've pointed out on many occasions, May of 1954 was one of the darkest months in American history. That is when they figured out with the Brown versus Board of Education maneuvering and in that Supreme Court decision that they could and forevermore would circumvent the will of the people at the ballot box through a judicial fiat. And that is how they win. They never win anything, with the exception of a couple of states voting in so-called sodomite marriage this time around. Besides that, I can't think of any major initiative that we've lost when it's come to a public vote, then or now. And they figured out a way to trump the people. And as Eddie said, how do you beat that? How do you beat a stacked deck? Well, we got to take a break. The music's playing. Keith Alexander, great service tonight. When we come back, we're going to be hearing about Eddie Miller's marathon run. You're not going to want to hear you're not going to want to hear it. No, you're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people. Yeah.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
This is the season. My name is Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve, they brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus.
Now, who would have thought Dragnet, that we could have found a Dragnet connection to Christmas? But, you know, we got some talent behind the scenes here at the cesspool. The real talent's in the studio. The production into the studio, not the live on-air hosting part of it. Anyway, I'm excited about the last couple of segments of the show tonight because it gives us a chance to kind of divert and talk about something uplifting and positive. As you know, and we've talked about it a couple of times throughout the course of this year, Eddie Miller, 65 years old. I added an extra year onto you. You turn 66 on your next birthday in April. His big passion and mission this year was to train, then run, and complete the 26-mile marathon benefiting the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. In order to get in to the race, you had to raise at least $500. If you didn't raise $500, you couldn't participate. And thanks to, I would say, 90% thanks to the cesspool audience, Eddie was able to raise enough money to get in this and pursue that dream and passion. Eddie, let's back all the way up to exactly what this race was all about, what it was for, why you wanted to get into it, and let's talk about your training for it, and then we'll get into the big day itself, which took place last week.
Well, you know, I love my brother Keith, but I'm very familiar with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and they do have a lot of white people out there. I've probably seen as many or more white people than I do colors, but they treat all races or religions, you know, no matter where the national origin is. If you're a kid and you're in the lower 48 United States and you have a physician's referral, you will be in St. Jude Hospital within 48 hours. And I know that I've been there. I've worked part-time, you know, as a volunteer, and I fell in love with St. Jude. I had a spiritual experience out there. And well, see, I went to the St. Jude Marathon last December and had a spiritual experience out there. And if people know me, if you know my past, and I tell you I had a spiritual experience, you'll know I'm dead serious. It really happened. I busted out crying like a baby last year. I cried this year when I signed the wall going to pick up my packet. I cried again when I ran through the campus of St. Jude. That's what got me started. I wanted to do something about St. Jude. I've never seen anybody come to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital that was not moved. I really hadn't, and I've seen some mean people out there. Another part of what maybe the selfish part of me, I wanted to set a goal that I really thought was impossible because James may have mentioned I have no cartilage in my right knee at all. No cartilage. James came to see me when I was in the hospital back in August of 07 when I was in cardiac ICU. For y'all that don't have any medical background, cardiac means heart. You know, I thought I might even die when I went in there. I couldn't breathe. I was just really screwed up. I was screwed up mentally, physically, spiritually. Every way a person could be messed up, I was screwed up. I started making promises to God if he would get me out of the ICU. You know, I would try to do something with my life. At the time, I was a registered nurse, but, you know, I really was pretty messed up. But since then, I started doing a lot of walking and getting in really good shape. And I couldn't run a step because every time I try to run, my right knee would go out. Well, and here's the spiritual experience of it. And I'm a hardcore Christian, just as we all are in his cesspool. I had people praying for me from the church. My wife prayed for me. James has prayed for me. I can't tell you how many people praying for me. My right knee that has no cartilage in it, I don't even feel it anymore. It's like a brand new knee. My best friend, who's an MD, graduated, summa cum laude, number one in his class, UT Medical School, board certified internal medicine. He says, I have scar tissue on my brainstem, the part that controls your vital signs. Try to condense this down.
I was just gonna say, Eddie, that explains a lot about you. Now it all makes sense. No, just kidding. Well, let's talk about, because time is of the essence, you decided to get into this What motivated you to get in it, and what was the training like as you prepared? And I know you prepared for nearly a year.
Well, what motivated me was, and I know this is going to be hard for you to understand, I never really thought I could do it. I thought it was impossible with my heart and my right knee, and then my left knee went out, and just untold, you know, problems. But I thought if I could do it, if I had faith in God, if I asked God to do it and had enough people praying for me, I thought if I kept the faith, I could do it. Well, I did. The train. James asked me about the training. The training was very long and very hard because, like I said, I'm old and I was in bad physical condition. When I first started, I weighed about 230 pounds. I think I weigh about 170 now. And, you know, a solid rip-roaring muscle, as James is going to testify. I was determined to do it. I started about by walking. I started running. I didn't start running until about August, James, and my knee would go out. But with thanks to the people praying for me and me praying too, my right knee got like bulletproof, man. Listen, I ran my first long run was an 8-miler back in August, and it was hot, man. The heat index was like 106. Then we progressed up to the 8-miler, the 10-miler. I ran 12, 16s, 18s, 20s. I ran a 22-mile race. Run 3 weeks before the actual marathon. Didn't have really that much trouble. It was hurt. But the day of the marathon, there's just something about it. You get all caught up in the adrenaline and the excitement. There's nothing like, there's no place on earth like St. Jude. I've been to a lot of places in the world. There's no place like that. It's contagious. And when you're up there in your, what you call the corrals, they segregate you by the speed, what you normally run. Well, I moved up to corrals and speed. And it hurt me in the long run. I moved up, I thought I could run faster. And I was going great guns till about the 14, 15, 18-mile mark. And I started breaking down. And I had to lay down on my back and rub cramps out of my legs at about the 20-mile mark. And then I came back too. But you have to, if you're going to train for a marathon, James, you have to really be dedicated. We started at 6 o'clock every morning during the summer. And wish we could start at 4. But it's all through the summer, the blistering heat, the just insufferable humidity. You feel like your muscles just turn into water. You feel like your body's lead. You feel like you can't take another step. That marathon, I can tell you what, starting about the 19-mile mark when I about bonked, I've never hurt so bad. I've had a lot of pain in my life, but I have never felt so much pain in my legs. And that's what really surprised me, James, because during the whole training process, my legs were kind of like my strong point. They would get tired, but I never had this almost unbearable pain. And the legs just lock up where you can't move. But through just praying, and once again, when I locked up at the like 19, 20, I started repeating Bible scriptures for myself. I said, "He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I kept repeating that phrase to myself and asked God to make the nausea. Oh, by the way, I had nausea real bad. I laid down, rubbing my cramps, getting the nausea to go away. And God, thank God, he took that stuff away from me, because most of your elite runners, and some of the elite runners bonked that day because it was so hot. You know, if it's 65 degrees, 70 degrees outside, and it feels good to a person who's just, you know, putt around the yard, it feels like you're in Death Valley to a runner. I'm not kidding you. It's just incredibly hot. People were conking out because of lower, you know, they were getting dehydrated and they're getting hypokalemic. And hyponatremic, which means you're low in your salt and magnesium. And it can be dangerous. You can die from that. And that was always in the back of my mind. But I really didn't think I'd die. But I'll tell you what, James, if you ever do like this, especially when you're as old as I am and you have all these health problems and you do train and you do accomplish that, even in the back of your mind, you think you can, but there's another part of you that is equally strong. It was equally convinced that you can't do it. You really can't do it. But if you accomplish that, I feel like there's almost nothing I can't do now, you know. And I don't think I'm really overconfident. I just realized that there was a lot of self-imposed limitations I had. And I think it's the greatest thing I ever did. And also, James, it's really given me a new lease on life. I found out one thing. I've almost become addicted to running. I love it. With all these world problems we discuss here on the Political Success Pool every night. We have a friend, me and James. I don't know if I mentioned his name tonight. I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I'll just say this guy's always, every time I've gone to a meeting we have with him, one of his major themes, he always implores white people to stay in shape, to keep yourself physically and mentally strong. And I think that's really important. I really do. And everyone can't run a marathon, and everyone didn't want to run a marathon. And you really don't have to run a marathon to be in good shape, to be physically well. But I would strongly encourage people to get off the couch and start participating in some kind of outside, especially get out of the gym, because you get outside and God's outdoors. I can promise you, I've never seen a runner yet that didn't benefit from being outside. It just does something. You have a feeling of freedom. But we're getting ready to go to a break in a minute, folks. And I think James may have something else, may shift gears a little bit. Are we going to get Pete in tonight, James? All right, son.
We'll be right back, folks.
Right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king.
I see Eddie looking concerned, trying to figure out who that is. Johnny Cash. Eddie, we've got Peter Stanton on the phone, our contributor, and we are going to bring him on in just a second. I want to ask you a couple of quick questions, then we're going to let deep scoop dive in. You know, we like bringing stories like this to you folks from time to time, infusing them, implementing them into the discourse here on the political cesspool, because it allows us to give you a peek behind the curtains into our daily lives. And as I've always said, and as I do say probably on a weekly occurrence, we are family here. The hosting staff and the production crew are family, and certainly our audience is part of our family as well. And so when we accomplish something that we're proud of, we want to share it with you. And certainly we're proud of Eddie, and rightly he is proud of himself for finishing this 26-mile marathon. Eddie, I got four quick questions, quick answers, then we're going to let Pete dive in. The day of the marathon last week, you're sitting there on the start line waiting to begin. What's going through your mind after all of this training, a year's worth of mental and physical preparation, fundraising to get there? The moment is finally upon you. What's going through your mind?
James, it's like being, I've had surgery before. It's like, it was the feeling you get out of all these pre-op medications right before they put you down. You really can't think straight. You think you can do a lot more than you can. I said earlier, I moved up two corrals and, in a much faster pace, and I paid the price at the room mile 19 and 20. But it's just a feeling of almost euphoria. The adrenaline is pumping, your heart's beating. The feeling is just indescribable, James. You have to go through it to realize what it's like.
Was there ever any point during the 26-plus miles that you ran that day that you thought, this is it, I'm not going to finish it?
Yes, there was. When I bonked, hit the wall, some of the coaches say there's no such thing as a wall, but I'm here to tell you I hit one. The pain, like I told you earlier, James, I've hurt in my life. I've had some serious pain in my life. I've never in my life hurt as bad as I did around mile 19, mile 20. My legs got, I was cramped, both legs locked up in cramps. I don't know if you've ever had cramps from swimming or playing football from being dehydrated, but your legs, my God, I thought, how can anybody hurt this bad and not actually have a heart attack? And I know before the race started, James, I thought once I get to this particular point, and you know where I'm talking about in Memphis, where East Parkway meets North Parkway. I thought once I got there, I'd be able to spell the barn, race be a piece of cake. By the time I got there, it was about 6.2 miles left, and I thought it might as well have been 6,000 miles. I thought there's no way in earth I'll ever be able to make that. But through praying and just sheer raw guts with God being with me, I did it. But I didn't think I could there for a while.
But you did do it. You crossed the finish line. So at the end of the whole journey, when you crossed that finish line, take us there.
I cried some. I mean, I'm a grown man, and a lot of people don't know about me, but I'm very, very emotional. James knows as well as anybody. He's seen me cry, seen me fall to pieces and have temper tantrums. But it was such an emotional high. I was just so nearly insane with adrenaline. As a matter of fact, I missed all kind of benefits they had for us. They were giving out all kinds of wonderful food. James would have loved it. They had McAllister's out there. They had the beer people, the pizza people. I missed every bit of that. I was just crazy with joy and tears. And people were hugging each other, backslapping each other. Other people as old as me, some of them even older than I. They have the kids out there, James, in wheelchairs with the mask on. They didn't have any. We finished at Redbird Stadium. But when you run through the stadium out there, run through the St. Jude complex, they have some children out there. And that's all going through your mind. In fact, it took me about 24 hours to really realize what I had done because the adrenaline was just pumping so bad. The feeling is just, it's like a supernatural feeling. It's kind of like how to explain the Holy Spirit or something. It's really tough.
Especially for those of us who have never and could never, I might add, do that. How long does it take Eddie Miller to run 26 miles?
Well, that's kind of the embarrassing part. I finished at 6 hours and 12 minutes, and see, I got in the 5 hour and 15 minute corral, which was about 25 minutes faster than I had been training. And the coaches told me, if they told me once, they told me 500 times, Ed told everybody, don't go out there and try to run at a faster pace that you've been training. They said, you're going to get caught in all this hullabaloo, all this adrenaline. And it's like being drunk. It's very similar to being drunk because
you know what that feels like.
Well, that's right. But I've just heard other people talk about it. And James has told me that he had an uncle that told him. But you think you can do more than you can. I went out there thinking, I can get up here with these 20 years old, and I'm going to kick some butt, and I'm going to finish this sucker in about 35 minutes faster than I've been running. But and I did great. They were saying, "Man, look at that old guy. How old are you, man? How old are you?" I said, "I'm 65 years old. Are you kidding me? How'd you do? What'd you do the half marathon in last year? Never run a half marathon. What'd you do the 5K? Never run a 5K. Never run 50 feet since the 1960s. Well, since the Army. Well, and I got there. That adrenaline was just, I was just going crazy with adrenaline. I thought, yeah, man, I could do this. I'm gonna kick some tail here, buddy. But about 13, 14 miles, when the adrenaline wore down, cold hard reality set in. And by 19, 20 miles, it was just the pain was hellish. It was worse than being in ICU in 09, James, when you came to see me.
Well, you made those last 6 miles. You crossed the finish line. You already told us a little bit about the reception that was waiting for all those who finished. You can just shake your head yes or no, and we're going to toss it the scoop. Did anybody fall and not make it through? Yeah. A lot of people just didn't had to quit. Well, Peter Scoop Stanton, or Washington, D.C. correspondent. He is known for this is his segment, actually. The last segment of the show is typically his. He's been working lately. You know, unlike our enemies, we have to work for a living. Or unlike, I say enemies, unlike those who oppose us would be more accurate. We have to work for a living. And so Scoop hadn't been able to call in the last couple of weeks. But he is here tonight. And you're listening to Eddie's story, Scoop. Could you have done it? I don't think I could have.
No, James. Good evening, James, Bombardier, and Cesspool family. First off, congratulations, Bombardier, on your great accomplishment. Secondly, the more things change, the more things stay the same. If you go back in the archives, when myself and the Bombardier both appeared on the Cesspool together, that Bombardier was talking about running the marathon, and yours truly was talking about making a beer run. now, the Bombardier is talking about completing the marathon, and yours truly is sitting outside of my favorite store, waiting to make a purchase. So, but honestly, that story about Eddie completing the marathon is just awe-inspiring.
It is. I wanted to make it a point. This is the first show that has taken place since he ran last Saturday. I didn't want to bring him on Saturday night, the day that he ran the 26 miles. So this is as early as we could get him in. But it is a heartwarming story, and it's a great story. And the Cesspool audience had a lot to do with that, Eddie. And I'm sure you'd like to give them the credit really, really quick for that.
Yes, I would. And I give them, and listen, people, and we had many, 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 many people, more I could name in an hour, for political Cesspoolians, supporters that contributed to our cause. And you know what? And they knew full well. Because I remember over the 4th of July weekend, we had a program in Nashville, and a lot of them know they got blacks there, they got Chinese, they got Mexicans, they got everything. So, and here we are, we're supposed to be the evil, white, racist, homophobic haters. But James, I don't know about, and Scoop, correct me if I'm wrong, but I hadn't heard the SPLC or any of these people contribute one thin dime to any charity other than something like AIPAC.
Well, that's right. And they won't. Yeah, I mean, you know. You won't see those people, running in a marathon beside you, Eddie. You know, hey, Scoop, I got an idea. Next year, the Cesspool had a big deal with you. The Cesspool sponsored your run. But or the Cesspool audience, more specifically. But, Scoop, next year, you come down. Are you going to do it again next year, Eddie?
Yeah, right.
Eddie's signing up for round two, the encore. Scoop, me. It'd be hard for me. I'd get worn out driving the 26 miles behind Eddie. But me and you'll be in the Pacer car next year, Scoop. How about that?
Yeah, but you better be the designated driver.
Hey, you know, Eddie made me promise if he finished, he can't drink. And of course, none of us do. And I know we all know that you're just joking, Scoop, when you say you do, because this is a family show. I mean, liquor has never touched these lips. But Eddie can't drink even if he wanted to, because he does so like seizure medicine and all this other stuff that he's on. He can't mix it with alcohol. But he did make me promise if he finished the race that I'd have a Pabst Blue Ribbon Tall Boy, which is your poison of choice, if I'm not mistaken, Scoop. And I forgot it, and I feel like such a bum. Eddie came in here in his full running attire with the medal, and I forgot his single beer.
Well, that's okay. I'll drink enough for you, me, the Bombardier, Keith, Winston, Bill, and all the Cesspool fans.
Yeah, have one for Eddie tonight. See, you're gonna live vicariously. See, Scoop's pulling his weight. He's doing his part for the team. We all have a role.
Well, I got a lot of pull around.
Hey, look, listen, Scoop, we've missed you the last couple of weeks while you've been working. Hopefully your schedule will open up to where you can rejoin us during this final segment. It is your segment and always will be. But that's all the time we have tonight. God bless you, Eddie, and congratulations, my friend. All joking aside, very seriously, we love you and we're proud of you. For everyone else, we'll see you next week. I'm James Edwards on behalf of the rest of our staff and crew signing off from Memphis. See you next Saturday.